Not necessarily money. Now, we know we need money in this world. We need money in this life, but it's more than money, okay? It's talking about literally a location or a spot or a condition that you are in that spot. Now, we can get into some conditions, amen? We can get into some spots, but God is always there to pull us through and to take us on into our wealthy place. Are you listening to me? And so God does not want you and I to live here in this planet we call Earth, in the world system, and be under the same kingdom as the world. We live in the world, but we're not of it. So we develop as a Christian, as a believer, kingdom mentality. How many know what I mean? Kingdom mentality. In other words, we begin to act and think like God acts and thinks. We start developing the mentality of who we are in Christ. And I give you a bunch of translations so that you would understand that wealthy place is not just talking about money. Now, they don't have all these in the software, but let me just go through them because it defines what the wealthy place is. The Amplified says a broad, a moist place. The NIV says a place of abundance. The Living Bible says a place of great wealth and abundance. The Complete Jewish Bible says a place of plenty. See, I got this software with 26 translations, so I can just pick the best ones. The New Century Bible says a place of good things. And, of course, the New King James, which we read most of the time in here, says a place of rich fulfillment. So we can see that God brings us out of our old life and the things that have, you know, kept us in bondage and kept us under that world system. God brings us into our place of rich fulfillment. He brings us into our wealthy place. And we begin in the first week we talked about this, is that God has a plan for every believer's life. How many of you believe that God has not just a plan for your life, but a good plan? And Jeremiah 29:11, I'll read it. Just let them pop it up there for you. It says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I give you the New Living Translation. Are y'all going to get the scriptures up there, Timmy? It says that God does not have a disaster plan for us. And we talked about that. This is not a year of disaster for the believer. Can I hear a better amen? So, we said that God's plan for us is good. We said that God wants to increase us, God wants to enlarge us, and God wants to expand us spiritually. But we also said, and we took very, very extensive time to develop this, that those things have to begin first in our hearts before they manifest on the outside or the physical. I gave you the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, where Paul talks about that he watered and Apollos planted, but he says that God gives the increase. How many know where the increase comes from? So it tells us that, you know, ministers, I'm nothing. All I am is a vessel to you. All I am is an instrument of God to plant and to water the word, but it's God who gives the increase. And then we talked about what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You can just write these down if you weren't here and look at them right quick. I think he's getting them up there as fast as I'm talking. But I want to get through this so I can get on to what we're talking about. Paul said that you have come, essentially what he said, you have come with your hearts restricted. You've come with your hearts small. Paul said, we've come to you with enlarged hearts. In other words, we come to you with our hearts expanded, full of God, full of the Word of God, but you have kept your heart small. You have been restricted in your heart, and you can't receive everything that God has for you. Now, there's many reasons why God's people fail to receive. One of the things, and I didn't even share this part in the messages, but one of the things is spiritual pride. You see, spiritual pride is those that think because they've been here for a long time or been in a Christian for a long time, they think they know everything. And you know, how many know we don't know everything? We don't know everything. So you have to be careful that you don't restrict your heart, that you don't do things intentionally, because we do a lot of things unintentionally But, you know, when we do things intentionally, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And the main way we grieve the Holy Spirit is through our words and through our actions. Okay? And so that was the first week. Second week, we talked about it's the will of God that we increase. Colossians 2:19 again tells us that it is God's will that we grow and we come together and, listen to me, that we be blessed because the increase is from God. We use Psalms 115 and verse 14 and 15 where he said, I will increase you more and more, you, your children, and your children's children. So we found out that it's God's will that we increase. See, some people, even some churches or some believers, want to think like the world that even in these times of recession and troubled economy that we're supposed to decrease. You don't find that in the Word of God. Now, who are you going to choose to believe? Who are you going to choose to think like? I'm going to think like the Word. I'm going to think like the Lord. Amen. So we covered all of that. And then last week, we talked about being in the right place at the right time. How many know it is important that you're in the right place? That you're connected where you need to be connected. You're connected to the right people. You're connected to the right church. You're connected to the right pastor. All these things play a vital role of God moving you into your wealthy place. And in Isaiah 1:19, we use that scripture. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you will eat the fat of the land. And we said there's three things that connects us to our wealthy place. The first one is that we have to be willing. Willing to do everything that God asks us to do. We have to be obedient to do what God asks us to do. Are you with me? And then the third one we said is that we have to be faithful where we are right now. Because we cannot expect promotion. We cannot expect advancement if we don't learn how to be faithful where we are. Come on, somebody, help me out. And then I made this statement, and probably shocked some of you by making this statement. I said, you cannot tell your children that they can be anything that they want to be. And some of you are probably still thinking about that statement. But if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you can't tell your children, honey, son, daughter, you can be and do anything you want to do or be. Now you can't tell yourself that. Because, and you need to write this down if you weren't here and get this in your spirit, meditate on it. You can only be in life what God wants you to be. Because God has put a call on each of our lives. Now, I know that needs to be qualified a little bit. Listen, you can be determined and you can say, well, I'm going to do this in life, and you can be strong-willed about it, and you can be just headstrong and ask God to help you, and He'll help you to an extent, and you can do anything you want to do, but that does not mean that's what God wants you to do. Now, how many of you want to do in life what God has called you to do and be what God has called you to be? Because in that is where we're going to move into our wealthy place, where we're going to move into the life of fulfillment. So we're talking about the call of God. How many of you believe that when you get born again, God already knew and that God had already predetermined what the call on your life would be? We use the scripture, God knew you before you were ever formed or made in your mother's womb. That's a pretty smart God, amen? All right, and so today, I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 26. You can get all those messages, and there's about 3 hours there of stuff for you. I want to talk to you today about refusing to be moved out of the place that God has for your life. Now, I believe, and we've already kind of alluded to this a little bit this morning, I believe the devil is real. In spite of what ABC or 2020 or all those other kooks say, the devil is real. Come on. Now, you know, the world, if I was in the world or if I was, you know, a heathen, I wouldn't want to believe in the devil either. But I believe in the Bible. And I believe God's Word, okay? And just as heaven is real, hell is real, just as God is real, I'm talking about the one true God is real, so is the devil. God created it. Amen. And so you have to come into a place in your life where you have determined in your own heart, not out of a strong will or not out of hard-headedness or stubbornness, because you can be all those things, but that you've come to a place where you're not going to let anything, anybody, anyone, demon or human, take you out of your race. Amen. You've just got to come to that place eventually, because if you can be taken out, you will be taken out. If you can be pulled back by family, or if you can be pulled back by other relationships, if you can be pulled back by circumstances or situations, the devil will figure out a way to get you off the track. Thank you for those few weak amens. Here's another scripture. Let me just give it to you. I don't have time to go to all these, but I want you to see it. He can put it up on the screen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Talks about this. It says that you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, did you notice? And again, the Bible compares a believer to a farmer. It compares us to a boxer. And it compares us to a soldier. Everybody knew that. See, the Bible compares us, first of all, to a farmer, because we need to understand the principle of sowing and reaping. Remember, Jesus said, if you can understand that principle of sowing and reaping, he says, you'll understand how the whole kingdom of God works. Well, a farmer knows that he has to prepare, you know, his field, he has to prepare the soil, and those seed are made for sowing into the field or into the soil so that he can get a crop. Well, we find out that the Word of God is seed. Amen. The Bible tells us and teaches us. So what we say or what we sow into our life can either produce life or it can produce death. Are you with me? And then the Bible compares us, and we'll talk about this in the next message, but I want to kind of allude to this because, you know, it talks about us being a boxer. Now, these analogies, you know, think about a moment. The boxer. You know, a boxer, he don't just stand in the ring and look pretty. I mean, he's got to get his dukes up. Are you listening to me? He's got to be ready to fight. Because if he just, you know, just sits there like a bump on the log, how many know his opponent is just going to wipe him out? Okay? But I think a lot of Christians think, well, you know, I get saved, so I'm not gonna have any resistance. I'm not gonna have any battles. I'm not gonna have any blows taken or, you know, towards me. You know, a boxer has to be able to take a punch. I mean, a boxer has to develop an attitude. If he gets hit, and even if he gets knocked down, he's going to do everything he can possibly do, weak kneed and all. If they have to put the planche, you know, wrinkle out all the, get all the swelling out under his eye, he gets back up and gets back in the ring until the referee calls him out. You've got to develop that kind of mentality that you're going to take some hits in this Christian life. Quit thinking that because you're a Christian, nobody's going to bother you. That the devil is just going to leave you alone. But you know, the devil can get into people. The devil can influence people. And so sometimes people can treat you bad. People can treat you ugly. Are you listening to me? But you've got to develop the mentality of the boxer that says, okay, fire your best shot. And when he whams you upside with a left haymaker, you just maybe rock a little bit, but you get back up and say, is that all you got? And you keep on, listen, you keep on staying in the ring for the full count. Because God's the referee. He said he won't leave you or forsake you. But there's also the soldier. Think about a soldier, how awesome our soldiers are. How many of you have ever been in the military? You know, when you go into military, you've got a commander in chief. And you've got an order of command and authority. And if you don't obey, what happens to you? They court-martial you, you peel potatoes, you clean latrines or whatever it is. You learn to obey willingly the commander-in-chief of your particular group. Are you here? You develop an attitude that you're not going to pay attention to the politically correct things or what people are saying. You're just going by your marching orders. And your attitude is, hey, give me the right weapons and I'm going to win this thing. Are you here? And you know what? Jesus has given you the right weapons. You have the most powerful weapons in the universe. You have the Word of God. You have the blood of Jesus. And you have the name and all the things that God has given you to be successful in life. But you've got to train. You've got to be prepared for a fight. Don't ever think you're not going to have a test. Don't ever think you're not going to have some trials in your life. But you got to know that whatever it is, you're going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And you're going to come out of it. Listen, you may get muddy, you may get bloody, but like one translation says, you may get knocked down, but bless God, you're going to get back up. Amen. How many of you have been knocked down? How many know it's no fun to get knocked down? Amen. But you got back up. Yes. I said you got back up. A lot of people get knocked down and they're knocked out. Amen. They get knocked down and they quit. Soldiers don't quit. Amen. Are you here? Because you have been destined and designed by God Almighty to win. A winner. Amen. And winners don't quit. I said winners don't quit. Quitters never win. But you're not a quitter. Come on, say I'm not a quitter. You've got to be determined because Satan is going to find out if you're a sissy. Man, somehow we think our Christianity is never going to be a test. I mean, how many have ever read Psalms 23? Maybe you ought to put that one up there. The Lord, help me out. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. That means that there's no lack. God has it all. And He what? Leads me. Are y'all up there? Are you going to put it up there? Put it up there, guys. He makes me. I can quote it, but I want you to see. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and He leads me beside still waters. You know what that means? That means the good shepherd always has something for you to eat. He don't take you to a desert place and say, eat dirt. He don't take you to a place where there's a Niagara Falls and say, get under there and have peace. Come on, somebody. God has called your pastor to be an under-shepherd. And you have something to eat when you come in this place. Amen. You've got some food. You can't, you know, people say, well, He don't feed us in there. Listen, you'd have to be mummified. You'd have to be a zombie and sleep all the way through the services to make a statement like that. Or to be so full of the devil and so full of yourself and so full of pride and all that other junk that your heart is such a shell that you could give an armadillo a run for their money. But if your heart is open and you're ready to enlarge and you're ready to expand. Now, put the scripture back up there. What's the next one? He what? He restores my soul. He leads me in the path that rides for His name's sake. And what's the next one? And He what? There though I walk through the, come on, the valley of the shadow of death. What? Oh, for You what? Comfort me. Your rod, Your staff. Sometimes, you know, Jesus has to take a rod. Sometimes He takes a staff. And then what's the next one? I like the next one because what? Because so many times we want to get our feelings hurt. We want to say, oh, I don't know why they're picking on me. But He says He prepares a table. Are y'all reading that? He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. How many? No, listen, you know you got at least one enemy. You know you got at least the devil that's not for you. And you know by now that the devil can get into anything if you let him. And he will get into people and he will use people. But you can still say, He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Even in the, how many know, recession is an enemy. Lack and debt is an enemy. But thank God for the anointing. I said, thank God for the anointing, because we believe the anointing does exactly what it says it will do. It is Jesus' devil-busting power that resides on the inside of you. You have an unction from the Holy One. Somebody say amen. Now, so to get in your wealthy place, see, you got to understand, you have an enemy. He tries to call you back. And so, y'all found Genesis chapter 26 yet? Okay. That's really where I wanted you to go. All that other stuff was free. Okay. Now, here's the story in Genesis chapter 26. If you found it, say amen. It is the story of Isaac. Isaac was Abraham's promised child. You remember that? Last week, I kind of told you a little bit of the story about how Abraham was moving into his wealthy place, and God called him to sacrifice Isaac, his beloved son, and he went to the altar. So all these things now have passed, and Abraham is dead, and now Isaac is come on the scene in Genesis chapter 26. And here's the first point I want you to write down, is that you have to guard against doing things the same way that someone else did in your Christian walk. Now let me say it again. You have to guard in your own heart of just doing things the same way as somebody else did. You may, because here's what's going to happen as I read this, you're going to see. You know, Abraham, when the famine hit the land, was instructed to go down to Egypt to move into his wealthy place. And Isaac, the son of Abraham, when the famine hits in his time, his inclination is to go and do just like his father did. Now, I know it's easy for us, and even as parents sometimes, we tell our children, you know, look, you do it this way. Why? Because this is the way we've always done it. Why do we do this? And sometimes we even tell our children, look, don't question me. Do as I say do. Don't do as I do. Now, y'all are really quiet. Like you've never done anything like that. I'm just trying to make a point to you that we don't just do things the same way every time just because that's the way we've always done it. Not if we're going to walk with God. Now, there's some things that don't change. There's some principles, and there's some things that you've got to adhere to that are not going to be altercated. I mean, there was somebody telling a lot of the influential and prominent churches, some of the mainline denominations are doing away with the altar call. Because, well, I mean, their reasoning is this. First of all, they say, find it in the Bible. Show it to us in the Bible. Now, their reasoning is it takes too much time, and they got a lot on the agenda, so they don't want to waste time giving an altar call. Now, you won't find altar call in the Bible, but you'll find altar, and you'll find call, and you'll find the Great Commission that we're to preach the gospel to every creature. Come on, somebody. And it is the will of God that all men get saved. And what would happen if there's somebody in a church service, because we've been doing our part as witnessing and praying for people to get saved and people to be added to the church, and God forbid that somebody might be in here this morning and seeking for the Lord and don't know Him. Amen. And we say, good day, hurry up and you can get there before the Baptists at the Luby's and have a great week. Are y'all here? No, there's some things, you know, that people try to transition out of the things of God without really, really understanding what is of God, what is real, what is important. I've had people tell me, well, I don't have to go to church. You can love God without going to church. You heard that? You know, they say that because it's usually this me and Jesus thing. Well, me and Jesus, you know. When somebody uses me and Jesus in the same phrase, it's because they've been offended. And when they say that, you know, well, I don't need to go to church. You've heard them people say that. You can love God without going to church. Well, let me tell you something. No, you can't. No, you can't. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Amen. And his commandments is that we assemble ourselves together. Yes. Now you tell me, scripturally, can you love Jesus without coming to church? No. See how you can get real, real stupid real quick when you're offended. When you're hurt and your heart is small and you're not open to the things of God. Now, you know, did Jesus ever say anything to people? Because I've heard it, well, Jesus would never offend people. Well, what if I got up and said, your father's the devil? Would that hurt you a little bit? You see, people don't, they just want to take the Bible and the scriptures and turn around and fit their lifestyle, fit their frame, their way of thinking. Amen. That's why we have to wash our brain. Amen. I told you the story, you know, people say, man, you're going to get brainwashed, you keep doing that stuff. I said, well, good. Because every human being has got to make a choice who's going to wash their brain. Somebody's going to wash it, either the world or Jesus. Amen. And I found out I'd rather have Jesus wash mine. Amen? So I tell you all these things because what happens is that we want, and I hadn't read Genesis chapter 26 yet, have I? What happens is we get on one side of the fence or the other. We say things like, well, this is the way we've always done it. Because we've done things and we've changed some, you know, not what scriptures say, but changed some things in the way we do a service or whatever. And I've had people, you know, get mad and get offended. Say, well, we're going to leave the church. You're going to continue to do it that way. Well, listen. When something like that happens, go to the Lord. Amen. Even ask God. God, did you tell the pastor to do that? Because you've got to be in a church. Listen to me very clearly. You've got to be in a church where you believe that the pastor can hear from God. And if you're in a church that you don't think your pastor hears from God, you need to go find one that you can. Don't get offended. Don't say, well, bless God, I'm getting out of here. No. Just go to God and say, God, did my pastor miss? If he did, talk to him. God's a big boy. Amen. And God will show, because I want to stay in the will of God. Amen. I don't want to do anything detrimental to the flow of God. I don't want to do anything that quenches the Holy Spirit. You hear all kinds of things. So I'm just saying there's one side where, oh, we're not going to change. Bless God. This is the way we've always done it. This is the way we've done it in grandma's and grandpa's church. And, you know, it's like people, they start a business. Now, this is a good one. And they want you to come bless it. Well, I got to thinking about that. If God told you to start that business, it's already blessed. So I don't know how to help you. Did God tell you to start it? Yeah, but I mean come over and cast out devils. Oh, you mean God told you to start it and there's devils already in your business? What's going to happen 2 or 3 years from now? See how sometimes we just get silly. We get funny. We get off base because we don't get the mindset and the influence of God and what God is saying. Now, so we can get off into that side, or we can join the fad. We can get over in the side and follow the crowds. Well, man, after all, this is the way you get giant crowds. Yeah, leave out the altar call, leave out the names of Jesus, leave out using Jesus in your speeches, and don't hurt anybody, don't offend anybody, and don't accuse anybody, and don't tell anybody about sin, don't tell anybody about the devil, don't tell anybody about hell, and you'll have a whole room full of people. A lot of churches, have you noticed, have become very seeker, user friendly. I read about a church the other day, believe it or not, out in California, Napa Valley, they were going to have, after church service, a wine tasting fellowship. Instead of fried chicken and fajitas. Now, you say, when are you going to do that in this church? Never. Never. Never, 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 never. So, I'm just saying, you got to make sure that you hear from God. You must do what God said to do. The best way you can stay on the right track and get to your wealthy place is to learn how to hear God for yourself, and be obedient, be willing, and be faithful so that you can reach the destination that God has for you if you believe God has a good plan for your life. Amen. And not a disaster plan. Genesis chapter 26. Well, we've been praying. We're just going to be led by the Spirit. Amen. There, now look here. Genesis chapter 26. Have you found it yet? If you don't, you really need help. You need professional help. There was, what's the word? A famine. So we could say there was a recession. There was a bad economy. There was a bad famine in the land. Besides the first famine, besides the one in the days of Abraham, you know, Isaac's father. And it says, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. And then the Lord appeared to him and said, now look at this, it's important. If we're going to move into our wealthy place, to what? Hear God and to obey God. He said, do not go down. Say, do not. What does do not mean? Do not go down to Egypt. Because that's where his father went, because that was the plan for God for Abraham to find his wealthy place. But he said, live in the land which I shall tell you. So God's got the whole theme of these messages has been about moving us into our place, our wealthy place, our place of rich fulfillment. It says, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all the lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to him, your father. Now go down to verse 12, because here's what it says. It says, then Isaac, he stayed where God showed him to stay. He stayed in that place where God told him. It says, then Isaac sowed in the land. Now look up here just a second. God never does tell his people to stop sowing because the economy's bad. Amen. Did you notice that? That he still sowed even during a time of recession. It's important that you see this, because God has a plan, God has a purpose, and God has the principle of sowing and reaping that's not affected by world economics. God lives by global kingdom economics. It's called Kingdom Economics 101. My God shall supply all of your need according to my riches. Are you here? Okay. He said, and in the same year, 100-fold. And the Lord what? Blessed him. Now, does that sound like increase? Does that sound like enlargement? Come on. In other words, times were bad. The recession was bad. But here's the plan of God. God wants you to not just survive. Look what it says in the next verse. The man began to prosper. If you have the King James, it said he went forward. God doesn't tell us to go backwards. God doesn't tell us to hoard this thing up, to dig a hole in the backyard and go to Sam's Club and get a mirrors full of goods. God doesn't say that. He said, look, he said the man began to prosper. And what? Continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and a great number of servants, so that the Philistines, the world, even envied him. Now, why did they envy him? Because God was prospering him in the midst of hard times. Hello? God was increasing him, was enlarging him, even in a time when there was a great famine in the land. God doesn't say, go backwards. God doesn't say, clam up and close up shop. God doesn't say, decrease and cut back and cut down. God says, go forward. Are you here? All right? Now, just go over to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Are y'all okay? Yes. See, God has a word for you today. I hope you're listening. God's plan for Isaac, and I believe it's God's plan for you and I, Deuteronomy chapter 12, is that we don't just survive. I've heard people saying, well, you know, we just got to hang on till this thing gets better and, you know, the people that get bailed out and how much, you know, stimulus we're going to get and all that. But look, God has not called you and I to survive. God has called us to thrive. Come on. God has not called us just to hang on and wait for the storm to pass. God has called you to thrive in 2009. Amen. Because you're moving into your wealthy place. And all we got to do is be in the right place at the right time. Because if we're in the right place at the wrong time, we're going to be frustrated. That's why some of you are not enjoying your Christian walk. You think you're going to the dentist. Y'all never been to their dentist? They laugh all the time in there. They've got the laughing gas. Let me ask you a question. When do you think God will say to you, let's go with your plan? When do you think God will say, your plan's a little better than mine. Let's go with yours. Say never. Never. Never, ever, 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 never. Never, ever going to happen. Never. Never is God going to say to you, well, you know what? You got some education and you got a pretty good head on your shoulders. I guess I blew it there. I didn't get this thing all figured out. Let's just go with your idea. It ain't gonna happen. I'll tell you what time it'll happen. No time. Amen. Never happen. You will either do it God's way or it won't be done God's way for you. You got to get a hold of that, because everybody wants to do it their way. Amen. And I told you, probably one of the favorite tunes in hell is going to be, and I did it my way. Remember to do what God tells you to do and you will be blessed. Amen? You're already blessed. So get God's plan. Here's the point. God's not going to choose your program. Come on, I'm serious with you. God's not going to choose your program. Okay? Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, look at verse 5. But you shall seek the place. Now, what have we been talking about? What have we been talking about all these messages? Moving where? Into our wealthy place. So God's trying to get us all into our wealthy place. Would you at least adhere to that? Okay. He said, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses. Who chooses?
God.
See, God chooses what place you're supposed to be in. He already knows the right place. And He already knows the time. Okay? It says, out of all your tribes, to put His name for His dwelling place, and there you shall go. Now, look at this, verse 6, very carefully. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and your flock. Now, here's what He's saying. You cannot give wherever you want to give. Y'all are not getting this. Now, some people say, well, look, we're under the new covenant. We sure are. We're under a better covenant with better promises. This is old covenant, but there's a principle here. You give your offering and you give your tithe where God says to give it. God says to give it in your church where you get fed.
Amen.
Not to your TV favorite preacher because you got goosebumps one day when you listen to him.
Amen.
According to the Word of God, see, you have to give where God says to give.
Amen.
We're talking about why some people don't get blessed. Well, bless God, I can just do whatever I want. That's what you're saying. I can just do whatever I want. It's my money. No, it's God's money. And God has instructed you. There's a reason that you give and you give your tithe and your offering to your church. If you've got a TV preacher, that's fine. Listen, that's great. If you like Joel Osteen or what's that guy this morning, Franklin, you know, that's great. But listen, that's not your church. I just double dog dare you. Next time you need somebody to go pray for your sick mom, call Joel and see if he'll come and pray for her. Huh? Come on. I'm not knocking somebody. I'm not knocking other men. I'm just saying, listen, those are supplements.
Yes.
You know what supplements are? That Joel Osteen's not your pastor.
Yeah.
Amen. Franklin Jenny, he's not your pastor. John Hagee's not your pastor. You've got to put your tithe and your offering into the church where you get fed, where you are prayed for, where spiritually you grow up and you receive. Now, listen. You know, you have to see it in this light. You know, how many of you take vitamins, supplements?
Amen.
I mean, some people say, I don't know about taking supplements. Well, the reason you take them nowadays is because all the food we eat doesn't have anything left in it. Full of contamination and preservative, and the time you cook it and get it all where you can eat it, there ain't nothing nutritionist left in it. So you take supplements. But how many know if all you do is take supplements for a couple of months, you're going to die?
Amen.
Because you need food.
Amen.
Are you here?
Amen.
So, you know, I'm not against people having, you know, preachers that they like to watch and so on and so forth. I mean, some of them, man, you better pay attention. But you got to view that as a supplement.
Amen.
You got to view it because any pastor, anybody that will get up on TV or internet and say, send your tithe to me, you just better read your Bible.
Amen.
Now, we're on internet. You've never heard me say, hey, you know, y'all support us here. Send your tithe to Church Living Word, 2501 Camino de Verdad, Westlake, Texas, 78596.
No.
Don't do it. Support your church. Support the vision. Support your pastor. Amen. God blesses you, and we can fix, because I'm not their pastor. I'm your pastor.
Amen. Thank you.
So don't get confused. See, some people say, well, you're going to be on TV, you're going to do all that stuff. We're not trying to phase out what we do as a local church. God is called a local church. We didn't start this church and then ask somebody to come in here and lay hands and pray for it to be blessed.
Amen.
We didn't call somebody in here to cast out devils out of the church. Now, maybe it needs a few cast out, but we'll do that ourselves. I said, we'll do that ourselves. Come on. God has called this church, blessed this church through thick, through thin, through all that the devil and all the gates of hell would try to throw at it. But we are still here. We are like the Timex. We take a licking, but we keep on ticking. We are blessed because God called us. We're doing what God called us to do. God's got His, you know, talks about Revelation. He has a candlestick for His churches, okay? There's a candlestick in heaven that represents Church of the Living Word. Amen? We're just doing extra. We're just doing supplement. You know, we're not just limiting ourselves to four walls, thank God. We can get the gospel, the Great Commission, to anybody that wants to tune in and listen. But we're not their local church. We're not their pastor. It is important where you're connected. It is important. You can't do what you want to do. Now look at verse, it says, look what it says. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all that you have put your hand. Rejoice. See, you're supposed to be rejoicing in God's house. You're to be thankful that God has given you a place where you can become an instrument, where you can become a vessel that God can use and transfer wealth into and move into your wealthy place, where you can feed on the Word of God, like Psalms 23 has said, that you can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Somebody say praise the Lord. And listen, listen, He said, and you shall not, verse 8, you shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own sight. You see, some people just think they're right because they think they're right. But they never go back and say, okay, what does thus saith the Lord? Look at verse 11. Just a couple more here, and we got to take a minute. It says, then there will be the place, the what? Where the Lord your God chooses to make His name abide. See, God chooses where you go to church. God chooses where you go to church. And God chooses what under shepherd you will receive words of life from. You choose those things yourself, you'll mess it up. You might be in the right place, but it'll be the wrong time. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Amen. It says, there you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your heave offerings of all the hand, of all your hand, and all their choice offerings which you vow to the Lord. Are you listening to me? Look at verse 13. It says, take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every place that you see. Or as the King James says, every place that you go. Amen. Do y'all read the Bible? Okay. You cannot, and I'm just trying to make a point to you, if you're going to move into your wealthy place, you're going to have to learn to hear God for yourself. Amen. You're going to have to learn to walk by faith, because we don't always see the full plan. But we got to have peace in our hearts. Amen. He leads us beside still waters. Are you with me? And we've got to believe that we're in a place where we're in the vision and in the will of God, because being in the right place is what connects us to our provision. Amen. And if you're not giving, and you're not tithing, and you're not supporting, and you're not praying for the local church, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Because you're not going to connect to your wealthy place. When you do it your way, or what you think is right in your own sight or your own eyes, you're cutting yourself off from your wealthy place, from your place of rich fulfillment. In other words, when are we going to come to grips and understanding that being a Christian is not doing anything I want to do anytime I want to do it? Amen. Are y'all here? Because listen, we Somebody said, well, we're free. We're supposed to be free. Yeah, you're free. But don't use your liberty as an occasion. And Galatians tells us, don't use as occasion to give to the flesh, to give occasion for the flesh to rise up and keep you out of the blessing of God.
Amen.
Amen? So, connecting us, if we're, and this is why we have to be so sensitive. Not sensitive to be offended or, you know, can't get along with people. I mean, think how silly it is to fight with one another, fight with people in the church.
Amen.
If we're going to spend eternity with each other.
Amen.
You going to sit on one side of heaven and they're going to sit on the other? Yeah, I mean, I've had people say, well, I'm not coming to church because so-and-so still goes there. Well, that's dumb. You, if God told you to be here and you're letting somebody take you out, you're going to miss your wealthy place.
Amen.
Can somebody say amen? I'll have to pick up here because there's a lot more here. I'm going to do what the Lord commanded me to do. And I'm going to be in the place that the Lord commanded me to be.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I want you to stand up with me because y'all been sitting a while and, you know, kind of move your tushy around a little bit so we can come back. Come on, just lift your hands a minute.